since I describe myself as a human rights specialist. So I've been working in the humanitarian field for many years, in the human rights field for a number of years, including about a decade with the United Nations in different parts of the world. All my training has been in international human rights. And about, well, almost exactly 4 years ago, 2014, I'm sure you'll remember, there was the war in Gaza. And I was going through some transitional things. I was doing my PhD in Budapest at the Central European University on the subject of human rights and refugees. And I was having some troubles, so I turned to meditation, to kind of exploring my spirituality, but I did not call myself very spiritual at the time. And as I'm in this process, there's a war in Gaza, and how many of you were affected by that war, observing it through your computers, on Facebook, touched by it, right? Had empathy what was going on. Well, it really affected me. It triggered me so much that it really pushed me into a breakdown, a psycho-spiritual crisis. And when I came out of that crisis, on the other side was something really beautiful, and it brought me to integral theory, integral psychology, transpersonal spirituality, all these things I didn't know about, but it manifested itself. So here I am, fast forward 4 years, and just, what, 2-3 weeks ago, once again, if you're watching the news, Gaza is on the news again. Jerusalem is on the news again. But this time, rather than being in Budapest and meditating and doing my PhD and stressing out, I was in Jerusalem. I was teaching at a Palestinian university, at Al-Quds University. And the subjects that I was teaching were global politics and human rights, mental health and human rights, and another course on the Abrahamic traditions. And so I say that because I just came back to Budapest from there, so this is really fresh on my mind, and I'm thinking, well, how does this link to what I'm going to present for you, on the subject that I've been reflecting on way before, you know, many months when I submitted the abstract. And then I was thinking, Jerusalem, right? Jerusalem, the meaning of Jerusalem is the foundation, Jerusalem, the foundation of the god of Shalom. Shalom is the god of dusk. And Shalom, when you say in Hebrew, Shalom means peace. When you say Salam in Arabic, it means peace. Jerusalem is the city, ironically, the city of peace. Right? That's why we call it the holy city. That's why we call it the holy land. And yet, it's so much in turmoil. And I thought, wow, isn't that symbolic? As I'm going to talk about human rights and the foundation of human rights, and this also stemming from religions. But I do want to talk about human rights very specifically. And maybe you're already getting some ideas about human rights, what it means. Any thoughts? What are human rights? Legal entitlements, right? They're legal entitlements that you have by virtue of being human. They're encoded in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that was signed in 1948 by the United Nations coming together after the Second World War, that translated into all kinds of international instruments, European Convention of Human Rights, national constitutions. There's entire movements about human rights. They're very secular, right? But human rights to me are all much more than that. I think of human rights as an expanded consciousness of self and other. It's an awareness of, you know, what is the internal morality and the external morality, kind of like a theory of mind. That's how I relate human rights to human consciousness, an expansion of the self to include the other. And is also a set of universal values. So the question that I'm posing concerns the foundation of human rights. is there a foundational theory of human rights? What is the source of human rights? Where did human rights come from? Are these just laws that we're all following? Now, if you go back to reflect on the history of human rights, there are different proposals, whether there is a foundation or there isn't a foundation. So on the positive, arguments for a foundation says that the origins of justice have a divine stamp. Justice is given through nature. They are natural. We have natural rights. We have natural law that stem from human nature. Is there, there's something wrong, huh? Okay, that's okay. And so most of the background theory, the philosophical theory of human rights, goes back to, I mean, it's a long list of names, but some of the names are Aristotle, Cicero, Hobbes, Locke, Aquinas, Grotius, Pufendorf, and Hume. So familiar with these a little bit? Yes. So you know that they reflect on the human being in the state of nature. And what is that human being in the state of nature? Are we violent? Are we aggressive? Do we turn to war? Are we competitive? Are we cooperative and helpful towards one another? And the usual argument is that, well, we're pretty selfish. That's a lot of times is the conclusion. That's why we need laws to keep us together in an organized, socially coherent way. And also another argument about a foundation of human rights is the concept of dignity. Immanuel Kant, dignity, you all have it, and dignity meaning your inherent worth as a human being. So these are some proposals for a foundational theory of human rights. What are the arguments against the foundation? Okay, listen, God is dead. Nietzsche, or a lot of people these days. There's no divine source. This is more like a post-Enlightenment secularism, separation of church and state. You can believe whatever you want, spirituality and all that, but here we're dealing with something different, and it's not God. Human rights are changing. They're expanding. They're evolving. So some examples are sexual orientation. It was never a ground for discrimination when the Universal Declaration was envisioned, but it is now recognized as a basis for discrimination, sexual orientation. Slavery. Slavery existed. That was legal. People thought that was okay. So the argument goes, if human rights are divine, if they're natural, then how could we allow something like slavery to happen? How did that happen? That's the argument against the foundation. We'll come back. Another argument is that it's impossible to locate the origins. You can't go back. You're only moving forward. And the positive view that human rights are a law that humans create and nothing else. They're like just inventions. They're just rules that we make up as we go along. Cultural relativism. This is familiar in integral theory. The idea that it all depends on culture. So in one culture, you have one respect for human rights. In another culture, you have another respect. This kind of postmodernist view, right? That there are competing sources of foundational knowledge. And if they're competing, if you can't put them all together, so you see where I'm going with this, if you can't put them all together, then there's no foundation. And that there are, like in cultural relativism, there's so many disagreements about the meanings of the concepts, such as dignity. What is that dignity? What does dignity even mean? Your dignity might be different than my dignity, than your dignity, and so on. So where am I going this? First of all, can both positive and negative be true? Can we hold both? And why should we care? Why does any of this matter? What are we talking about here? So I'm offering some answers. Maybe you're thinking of your own answers. I think we need to reflect on this to become more self and other aware, more conscious of the choices and values between right and wrong that shape human rights in our lives and around the world, and to contribute meaningfully to defining and evolving our humanity. We have human rights as tools to be able to do that. So in the search for these foundations of human rights, this foundational theory of human rights, there's some modern contemporary philosophers that have mentioned the idea of a holy grail of human rights. So what would the holy grail of human rights theory look like? The idea is that during the drafting of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights in 1948, when you had all these different representatives of nation states coming together, and they had to agree to a universal document, universal set of morality, that was extremely difficult, extremely difficult. So the way that they did that is that they took everything controversial out of it. And so that's why you have kind of like a bare document that doesn't say anything about spirituality, any about the sources. It's left blank in terms of theory. That's why there's no theory, no foundational theory. But some have said, and I'm giving credit to the people that it comes from, a legal scholar, Christopher McGrudden, said that the elements of the holy grail of human rights would have these elements. It would be a coherent whole. It would be universal, cross-cultural, intersectarian, prioritizing both the individual and the collective, not dependent on state authority, non-ideological, humanistic, timeless, and adaptable. That's a pretty big leap. So I took out the exact quote from his article. So the article was on dignity specifically. Just to unpack it a little bit, so this coherence would mean that the whole is greater than simply the sum of its parts. Not rooted in any particular region of the globe, but cross-cultural, sensitive to difference, places importance on the person rather than attributes, and also places individual within the social dimension, not dependent on human rights originating only from the exercise of state authority, non-ideological, meaning that it transcends like capitalism or communism, not based on any particular set of religious principles. This is very problematic. And that embodies basic values that are not subject to change, but are always adaptable. Okay, now we get to integral. This is where I'm going with this. The suggestion is, when I read that, I'm like, okay, challenge accepted. Let's see what integral, can we get like a bigger vision of human rights and try to get some foundational ideas about human rights using the four quadrants. So the way that I'm analyzing it, and this is a work in progress, so I'd love to hear your feedback and your ideas, is that we reflect on the sources of human rights from a psychological, biological, cultural and religious, and philosophical, political, and legal perspective in the different quadrants. This is usually where human rights remain, in the legal, political, philosophical. There isn't much reflection on this, maybe on this, but it's been mostly rejected. So what do I mean by these quadrants? First of all, in the interior individual, the psychological, meaning the non-physical foundation. Basically, that human emotions guide morality. So this is something that's already come up in discussion. Fear, hate, disgust versus love and compassion. These are our first instincts that determine what we think is right and wrong. Our ability, our human ability to reason based on those emotions for free will and moral choice. I reflect on social and evolutionary psychology about individuals. Of course, social psychology is about groups, but groups have members of individuals, and so it's a reflection of how those individuals relate in a group. And then I also kind of think of psychological as spiritual. Okay, this is the part that's really tricky, because any like persons familiar with biology and biological Darwinian evolution, you might be able to help me out. I'm using sources from legal scholars, these are their names, that have already started to think about human rights as having a biological evolutionary source. And so it's called like a neo-Darwinian biological evolution that focuses on the on human evolution is not just having a competitive, self-focused behavior based on gene adaptation, and that's the story of the human being, how we evolved, but also a cooperative behavior, that is largely led with altruism. And this is almost, so altruism in the sense not, this is meant to say non-kin, so not just because we're in a familial relationship, but altruism towards strangers is almost, in brackets, uniquely human. So this is fascinating to study ourselves as human beings vis-a-vis the rest of nature and animal kingdom. And what the studies show is that human beings have an evolved social reciprocity and that it demands an advanced cognitive ability, a theory of mind. So we've developed an expanded state of consciousness to be able to relate to others. We evolve through cooperation and this kind of advanced altruism. That's how the argument is going. So we sanction non-cooperators. And this cooperative and altruistic groups are scientifically proven to be more adaptive and have a selective advantage.
Quick comment.
Yeah.
It seems like in that quadrant, what should be there is just survival. That cooperation feeds the underlying upright source of survival.
Yeah. Do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Well, you're looking for biological correlates. Mm-hmm. The need to self-preserve, it's a biological origin of cooperation.
Exactly.
So I think it's reciprocal.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what I'm trying to show or suggest, as others have, is that if we're thinking of origins, of where we are in terms of our morality and cooperation, that's one of the sources that we can reflect on, is our own biology, and therefore be more forward-thinking about it. Of course, cultural and religious sources, these are the usual sources. So religion, actually first, maybe I'll point to Reza Aslan. You're familiar with him? He's pretty outspoken on religion issues. Maybe you've seen him on CNN defending Islam and other things. And he's written, recently published, the book God, A Human Story. And in that he says that religion, according to his research, religion, the belief in the soul, is universal and can be traced back in our evolution, all the way back to the Homo erectus, embedded in our cognitive process. It's there from the beginning. Religion is a force that just continues. It brings that social cohesion together through shared symbols and metaphors. It has an adaptive advantage, possibly, by lessening uncertainty. And religion and culture can be both a source of fear and love. So a bit more practically, religion also provides rules and a template for justice. So if we're thinking about the whole, the universal, all the religions, they're all kind of infighting, and we often talk about the difference. If we link it back to reciprocity, altruism, cooperation, some of these other origins, you can connect it directly to the golden rule that you can find in most world religions, possibly all world religions. The golden rule in Judaism, do what is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. This is the whole Torah. All the rest is commentary. Yeah? Christianity, in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. Jesus said this in Matthew. Islam, not one of you truly believes until you wish for the others what you wish for yourself. The Prophet Muhammad. Buddhism, treat not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Direct sources. Confucianism, one word which sums up the basis of all good conduct, loving kindness. Do not do to others what you do not want done to yourself, said Confucius. Same idea. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, and the New Testament, you find this throughout. Leviticus, in the Old Testament, which is different than the earlier quote, love your neighbor as yourself. Repeat it again frequently, but later in the New Testament and Galatians. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. Love and law. Love and law. So all of that, if we kind of think of these as origins of human rights, we can say that they are the sources of what we thought of as religious codes. So the Ten Commandments, and in the Quran you have certain precepts. In Buddhism you have precepts, do not kill, do not do this, do not do that. And the Hammurabi Code is one of the first human rights charters. And these are the original sets of rights. Some would argue that they're also duties, so not just what you're entitled to, but what you have a duty to do. And they were followed by a philosophical reasoning that led to modern human rights that are now in our constitutions, our institutions, our international laws, and also in our social consciousness. So we have a language of human rights that we can make political. Most people can claim their rights, even if they're not familiar with the sets of rights, know exactly what's written in the laws. We think in terms of, I am human, I have rights, this is wrong. Almost intuitively, in the US Constitution, it's one of the opening lines, that the rights are self-evident. They're self-evident, given by the creator. We ignore that now. We just say, you know, they're not self-evident, they're no creator. But this is the foundational thinking. This is our history, our human history gave us this. Okay, so that's one part of the integral map that I'm trying to put together to kind of deepen that, these sources of knowledge, and to think of the different origins of human rights. But there's so many more overlapping concepts between human rights frameworks and this system that we've developed and what we think about and do in the integral community. So these are just concepts that I put up there, like freedom, peace, unity, value, development, universality, wholeness, diversity, and equality in the sense of non-hierarchy. Can you relate to these concepts from your work in some way, or from your practice, or from your reflections? That might not necessarily be human rights, but they very much have a human rights connection and basis. So this is what I'm working on. I think of it as everything that we've been discussing, the evolution of human consciousness, our self-awareness about how we are and how we want to be, and human rights as those tools that we have created. And I'd love to hear from you what you think, whether there's ideas that you think I can have to build on. And hopefully we can be in touch. I have my email there. I've also started a podcast called How We Are Human. So these are conversations that we need to have. So the idea is to, I've had a couple amazing interviews with individuals, I hope to continue to really unpack some of these ideas about what creates humanity and how did we get here and how we continue to evolve from an interdisciplinary or integral perspective that links all these different sources of knowledge. So I interview and talk to everybody. You can also find me on Facebook. This is me. And the reason I wanted to close with that is because I started talking about the war in Gaza and everything that's going on between Israel and Palestine, kind of like the, to me it's very symbolic of the conflict in the world that translates to all corners of the world. And this is actually a photo that I took in the West Bank. You know, there's the wall that's been built that divides Israel and in the West Bank. And I love this because it says, love wins, and then it had all these different translations in Arabic and Hebrew. And throughout this entire wall, there were different articles of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, including this one, which is Article 1, that all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and in rights. So, thank you very much.